tonight I feel like I just want to pull everybody up into my den, into my living room, and just let's just sit around and talk. That's the sort of feel that I have. I said, you know, this is not one of those untold revelations that you ain't never heard before that's going to make you run and climb the walls. And that's not where I am. And then, so because of that, I started to doubt a little bit. I said, oh, Lord, what you're saying to me, it's blessing me and it's profound, but I need a confirmation. I need a confirmation. I said, but I'm open. I'm open that if you want to say something different than what I sense, then Lord, just use me. Let me be at a place that I can hear you. And when I was riding over here, I didn't have on any music or anything. I was just, you know, riding, and the Lord began to just encourage my heart that what I have to share with you tonight, this is God's plan for overcoming depression. I don't know if you've ever been in a place that you felt low, that you felt down, you felt heavy and weighted. This is God's plan. This is God's antidote for stress. Yeah, they make a lot of money off stress relief medications, but God says, I have an answer. This is God's plan for deliverance from addictions, all kinds of addictions, compulsive behavior. I said, Lord, could it be that? This is God's way to walk in victory over hurts and wounds. This is the answer to a lot of the pain that we go through. And so I said, amen, Lord. I pray that your people hear you tonight and receive it. And I said, I pray that I can convey your heart the way you're making it known to me. And then I come in here because I get so nervous when I have to stand before you, before God's people, because I just respect you that much. And if they keep calling, just put it on speaker and let them hear what I got to say. And then this psalmist of the Lord began to sing and began to worship in the very same stream that I believe God would have us to flow in tonight. Some of the very same words. And then I said, wow. And then the next song she went to was the next part. It was as if you were reading my outline. And I said, Lord, you know, if I was insecure or had low self-esteem, I would interpret that as, yes, I'm on it. Or, yes, that girl heard from God. But that's not what that says. What it says is that God is so intent and so intentional, so committed, so faithful to helping us to understand something of him. That not only would he place a word in my heart, but he stirs up that view of who he is in the worship so that she begins to sing it. And then you begin to worship. And I said, thank you, Lord. You know how to prepare the ground for us to hear the word of God. You know he knows how to do that? You know, see, my grandmother taught me that a long time ago. She said a hard head will make a soft behind. Because there's some things you go through that it just prepares you to hear what you couldn't have heard before. I'm going to look over here and say it. Some things you go through is just to prepare you for what you couldn't hear before. Because the Lord knows when we're ready. So even tonight, he loves us so much. He said, let me let them experience something and sing something and declare it so that when it's preached or when it's spoken, that their hearts would say yes and amen. So let's pray. Lord, we say yes. We say amen even before we hear the conclusion of the matter. We say our heart and our soul agrees with your word. We receive your word. We receive the truth of who you are as you're made known to us tonight. And Lord, we won't fight against you. We won't resist you. We won't harden our hearts. Lord God, we won't be stiff-necked, but Lord, we will receive your word, and we declare tonight that the word will be planted in good ground. And Lord, we will see the fruit of this word because you're so faithful to watch over it, to perform it. We declare by faith that it will not return to you void, but it will literally transform us tonight. And I thank you, Lord God, for a transforming encounter. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you in our midst. We welcome you to establish our thoughts. We welcome you, Lord, to guide our pondering. We welcome you to massage our spirit and our hearts so that we can absorb the word tonight and do what only you can do, Lord God. And we give you praise and honor. I thank you for every person that's here. I believe that everybody that's here, Lord, is here by divine appointment. And we receive this, Lord God, as your perfect will. And we say tonight, Lord God, that we will receive what you've intended for us. And we declare this and we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What was that first song you sang? Creating me a clean heart. In Psalms 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. And here's where I want to focus. It says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Verse 4, he who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. A clean heart, clean hands, and a pure heart. Those are some requirements for entering into God's presence, because he's a holy God. And tonight, the title of my message is The Presence of God. The Presence of God. I wasn't quite sure how to actually convey the thought that's in my heart. But what I did know is that the Lord wants us to deal with this subject matter of his presence. And so we begin to sing about the presence of the Lord. And as I said before, that's the antidote to all the stuff that we go through. The presence of the Lord is where we receive what we need from him. In fact, in verse 8, it says, he shall receive blessing from the Lord. And when the Lord conveys blessing, he speaks the word of wholeness over us. But where does that happen? You're going to have to talk with me a little bit tonight. Where does that happen? When we're in his presence. But can anybody get there? No. This, he says, there's a qualifier. You got to have clean hands and your heart's got to be pure. That's why we had to sing about wash my heart, purify my heart, you know, creating me a clean heart. That's something we have to do on a daily basis, because when our heart is not right before God, it prevents us or it keeps us from going into his presence. So when we talk about a heart that's not pure and hands that aren't clean, what we're talking about is defilement, right? Right? Being defiled, right? Not being holy. But what is it that defiles a man? That's right. But if I could just, we're going to make it real plain tonight, okay? Sin. Okay? Sin is what defiles us. And it's sin, then, ultimately, that keeps us out of the very presence of God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, is talking about Adam and Eve. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why did they hide themselves? Because they were aware now that they were defiled. They weren't clean. They had sinned. They had disobeyed God's standards. So their hands not clean now because they touched that which was forbidden. Right? Their hearts aren't pure because they've operated in deception and lying and trickery. So because of sin, look what it did. It made them run and do what? Hide themselves from the presence. The presence. That was their blessing. That's what the Lord had given them. It really wasn't all about the Garden of Eden with all the unlimited fruit and all the resources and food and everything they had. The blessing of the garden was that the Lord himself abided with them. So much so that in the cool of the day, the Lord would come strolling through. And because they were not defiled, when his presence would be made known, they would run to him. That's what the Lord wants us to be able to do. But sin will cause us to run the other way. It will cause us to hide. That's why some people don't want to read their Bible. Because of sin in their life. Because you can't read the word of God and not have an encounter with his presence. Some people don't like worship. They're very uncomfortable in worship. I don't care what you do. Can you hurry up and finish that? It's too long. Shut that song down. I don't want to lift my hands no more. This is annoying me. Why? It's the sin in us. It's the sin in us that makes us not have not just a tolerance, but a desire for his presence as we worship. That's why some people don't like the word. That's why they're not, I'm not making a judgment, but that's why some people don't come on Wednesday nights. That's why some people don't go to church at all. Because of sin, because sin will make you do what from his presence? You run and hide. Some people are so good that they hide in the church. I don't know, perhaps some of you are sitting here right now hiding. You're physically here, but are you really, really engaging the Lord? Are you really having an encounter with his presence? Oh, I know what I'm talking about, because I done been in there too many times where I remember back in the day, boy, I would be sitting in church, and when church was over, I couldn't tell you one thing happened. My mind was everywhere, you know, and because I was drifting, because I really wasn't that interested in what was going on. But why? See, what I told myself, church is boring, or them people too old, or, you know, all the reasons we give ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, Sister Charlotte, is that it's the sin in me that make me want to hide, make me want to run away from his presence. Some people are so committed to maintaining that sinful state of their heart and in their life that they avoid every possible opportunity for God to speak to them. Well, this is what it looks like in their life, is that they always keep something going. Because they don't want it to be quiet. Because when it gets quiet, the Lord starts talking. So in order to not have to deal with his presence, they always got some music going. See, I'm going to tell you a trick that the enemy is giving a lot of our young people now. When you walk around 24/7 with earbuds in your ear, listening to something. Because when you do that, you can't get quiet. If you're not quiet, you're missing out on them opportunities when you're walking. And the Lord says, stop. Don't even go there. You go, you're trying to figure out where that come from, because he's trying to help you. Because the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered. Well, if you always got some noise going on, you can't hear his guidance. See, that Holy Ghost GPS, the signal can't get through. It's not that the Lord doesn't desire. Then you'd be wondering, how you let me walk into this, Lord? You know, this drama in my life. You know, how did this happen? It happened perhaps because you wouldn't listen to him. We don't want to listen. So, and every time we get home, we want to cut on the TV. You know, or we have to engage in something that sort of stimulates us. But sometimes we got to check ourselves. Sometimes we're doing that because the sin in us is driving us to run away from his presence. It's amazing what kind of experiences you have with God if you'll allow yourself to get quiet. Some people, to avoid his presence, they stay up and run and rip and run all day long. So at night they don't go to sleep, they fall out. You know what I'm saying? You don't sit down and have them few minutes in the bed where you're not doing anything and you're not, you know, you're just quiet. And because you might start reflecting on your day. The Lord might start showing you some things you said or did that didn't please him. That's uncomfortable. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to stay busy. I'm going to keep it going till I just can't stay up no more and I just fall out. You know, I just sleep wherever. Wake up in the morning with my clothes on. Don't even know how, I just fell out, you know. But it's his presence. The Lord wants us to desire his presence. Desire his manifest presence. My hope tonight is I never really want to do that, but I'm just saying, my intent or my hope tonight is not to impress you, but I want to whet your appetite for his presence. I want to whet your, I don't care, it doesn't matter what level you are, there's more. In fact, you should just repeat that, say it to yourself, say there's more, don't settle, there's more. But the sin causes us to run and hide from his presence. And then when we finally get the courage or the nerve to deal with stuff that's wrong in our life, then here we go. It's almost like starting over again. Now you got to get back to where you were before you ran last time. But the stuff that caused you to run is still there. So before you know it, we get wrapped up in something again, sometimes the same thing or something else, and here we go. And our whole life is just, we're just running. What did he say about that in the New Testament? Was that James said, you know, running to and fro, right? Double-minded man, he unstable in all his ways. His whole life unstable. Nothing is anchored. Not secure in the Lord, just running to and fro. But that's what sin will do. Cause us to want to move away from his presence. Turn with me to Exodus, the 33rd chapter. Now, you know, there's no clock in here like it is in the sanctuary. So, you know, we're just going to be in the presence tonight. Amen. My wife already looked at me like, yeah, I got you. Thank you for being my clock. Exodus 33, starting at verse 9. And again, I feel like we're in my den. I just want to pull everybody in. Let's just sit down and talk a little bit, you know. And so my approach tonight is going to be just a little more relaxed because that's what, let me tell you, you have to flow with how God is moving in any situation. Because if you don't, you'll get into self. And when you get into self, that stuff stinks before the Lord, and it doesn't bring life, it brings death. But the life of God is reflected, or it can be poured out when we're in the spirit. So whatever listen, David said, why so downcast? Oh, he acknowledged, I'm down. Why so downcast, oh my soul? But he encouraged him. He said, put your hope in God. But he didn't ignore where he was. And you can't do that. See, some people, you know, we don't even want to pray out loud in front of people because we don't sound like the other person that we heard praying. And so because we don't sound the other person, we get intimidated or we want to hold back, you know, because we don't think our words are so eloquent. Do you know that more than what comes out your mouth, God is looking at your heart? Sometimes the best prayer you can say is, Lord, have mercy. He can interpret that. I remember when I first got saved, or first, you know, came, the Lord first rescued me. Let me say it that way. There was a brother, I cannot remember his name, but I remember one time we were in a circle in school at West Georgia. We were in a circle praying, holding hands, and this boy started his prayer off like this. He said, Lord, I'm a mess. He said, I feel like I'm tossed like a salad and mixed up like Kool-Aid. But that's how he saw a mess. But see, if he had said, Lord, my heart is far from thee. I feel divided in my affections. That would have sounded nice, but that wasn't where he was. And the Lord would have been looking at him like, really? We got to be real before God. And it's a problem if we have prayer and everybody sound alike. Because we don't talk the same. The way the Lord makes himself known to me is not what he's done in your life. It's my journey. So my prayer has to come out of my relationship. I'm so glad the Lord helped me with that. You know, you don't have to try to be like anybody else. You know, when I came in tonight, Sister Barbara was storming the gates, praying. I walked around the corner. I said, "Woo, there's a presence up in here." That girl wasn't just calling some words. She was touching the heart of God. I said, "Yes, Lord." And I walked in and people were standing all over the place. But my hip was hurting. So I sat down and prayed. And I didn't feel any way funny or intimidated if somebody were to look and say, "Oh, Pastor Gray is sitting down." Yeah, my leg was feeling kind of. And then I had bubble guts because I was nervous about standing up and delivering what the Lord gave me. So I was like, I need to sit down somewhere. Because if I don't, ain't no telling what might happen standing up here. So I sat down. Because I got to be real. See, if I stood because I was concerned about what you thought, that fakeness. See, your heart got to be pure. Or you can't ascend. Every time we gather, there's an ascension that takes place. There's a place that the Lord wants us to come to. Because he's holy. He beckons us. He calls us out of where we are to come dine with him. But now who qualifies to go? Because if you don't go, you will come to church and just go through the ceremonial service. And when it's over, you go home. You don't really feel like there was anything. There's no real, you know, impartation there because we don't engage God. But we gotta worship him. Out of our own experience, we got to pray and talk to him. You know, that's what prayer is, right? It's just communication with God. In fact, do you know that worship is prayer? And prayer is worship? The Lord can care less if you're singing or talking. It doesn't matter if it's got melody to it or if you just, it's what you're saying to him. And he's listening to your heart anyway. So we need to be free. We need to be delivered from being too mindful of how we measure up to the folk around us. In my pre-baptism in the Holy Ghost days, oh, I was saved now. Don't get me wrong. I hadn't received the fullness yet. And I had been praying and seeking the Lord for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was like, Lord, I've been hearing about this experience. I want it. Because I was one of them guys that felt like, you know, anything God is giving is going to be good. And if I ain't got it, I need to get there. And if it wasn't happening, I didn't never say God ain't right. I said, what's wrong with me, Lord? I want, help me. I want to get there. So I was seeking. I was seeking, man. Every time I went to church, they would pray and they would give an invitation. I would come up. I know people were saying, didn't he get saved last week? I ain't worried about you. I'm trying to get to a place in the Holy Ghost that I have not yet attained that I know. But how many of y'all got something in you that you know there's another place that you ain't got to yet? Not that you heard about it, but you know. How many of you feel like you're so close you could just, oh my God, it's elusive. It's like, I'm just, see, if you don't have that, you got to pray and ask God to bring you there. We can't press into the more of who he is. A friend of mine shared this with me, and it's I didn't even finish the first story, dear. Remind me to come back to knocking, okay? Knocking. Knocking. When I look and say knocking. Okay, so we were praying, and I was praying, seeking the Holy Ghost, and, you know, I would come up, and it was in this Bible study at school again. And this was before, you know, I received the baptism. And I remember I was feeling God's presence. I knew he was dealing with me. I was in this chair, and I was just, what they tell me, because I don't row. They tell me I was just rocking back and forth. And guess what I was saying? No, it wasn't no tongues. You would have hoped it would have been. I was trying to get some. Oh, I forgot, Lord. We're on the internet. Okay. I was trying to experience the gift of tongues being poured out, the new language, but I hadn't gotten there yet. But I knew that I felt the hand of God on me. I was just rocking. And guess what? I was honest. I was just saying, dwell in me, Jesus. Dwell in me. Dwell in me, Jesus. Dwell in me. Oh, dwell, 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 dwell. I just kept praying, asking the Lord to dwell in me. That's all I knew. When I finally got finished, it was about four people there. Now, when we started, it was about 35 people. It's like four people. And I was like, what happened to everybody? He said, oh, they left. Bible study had been over for an hour. You sit here in the chair rocking with your eyes closed, hollering, dwelling me. And so some of us had to stay because we had to close up the building. But this one friend of mine, Tressa was like, shoot, I just started saying it with you. I sat down next to you, dwelling me too, Jesus. Dwelling me too, Jesus. Because he's trying to get to something that he ain't got yet. And whatever it is, I'm hungry for it now, you know. So my earnest pursuit of him began to stir up a thirst in somebody else. But I wasn't in there trying to pray the right things. I just know that whatever it was, it wasn't dwelling in me yet like I know he could. So I would just say, Lord, dwell. I probably was asking for more than I knew, and I probably wasn't asking for enough. You understand what I'm saying? All I know is what I know. So I had to pray right there. What I'm trying to tell you is you don't have to be all correct and all the right. Look, just pray what you know. Sometimes your prayer may go, oh, God, hit my mind so crazy because I keep thinking about stuff I'm supposed to think about. People do stuff to me, and I'll be imagining myself. Lord, get the crazy out of my mind. Get the crazy out. Now, you know, somebody may overhear you and go, oh, Lord, we're just praying for them in that condition. May they get some medicine for that chemical imbalance, you know, that they call crazy. You know, no, don't worry about what they're saying. You got to talk out of what you know. It's got to come from here. Go ahead and patch this. It's got to come from here. It's got to come from here, down on the inside. It's got to come up out of there, and it's got to be real. I'm telling you, if it ain't real, if it ain't real, it ain't real. You know, we got to come from a real place. And we got to stop measuring ourselves by other people. So, what was that? Yes, knocking. So, thank you. One of my friends was sharing with me, and I like it. So, I'm going to share it, and I'm not going to even call his name. He get no credit for it. And the next time I do, I'm just going to tell you. But one of the tricks that the enemy has given us, I don't know why I'm on this thing okay. But, you know, we've learned this definition, right? That what is insanity? Doing the same thing over and over, the same way, expecting different results. And we've bought into that. But do you know when you really think about it, that's a lie. That might be in the world, but that's not the economy of God. Because the scripture I read says, knock, and it shall be open. And our pastor, the man of God, Pastor Woodrow Walker, the second, taught us that the Greek word for knock there literally translated means knock and keep on knocking. So the world tells you, if you keep doing the same thing and getting no results, you're crazy. God says, press. Keep pressing. You knock some more. Keep on knocking. Don't give up. You got to believe me. If you seek for me with all your heart, you will find me. In fact, Hebrews 11:6, I am a rewarder, Doug, of those that do what? Diligently seek. That ain't no one knock. You can't do it one time. See, I don't know what you believe in God for. But don't give up. Don't stop. Keep. Don't buy that. Well, you so crazy. You just keep praying the same thing. Yes, I'm going to keep on praying until I see the manifestation. He says, seek. And the word there is seek and keep on. And you shall find. Knock and it'll be open to you. In other words, God says, don't give up. Keep hammering at that thing. Keep coming for me. Keep coming for me. And when you get tired after having done all to stand, stand. Right. Keep standing. Don't give up, Brother Frank. You know, there's some stuff you done lived a lot of years, but there's still some stuff that you ain't got yet from in the Lord. Don't give up. Don't say, well, you know, it didn't happen when I was 50. It didn't happen when I was 60. I'm 65 don't roll. Oh, I guess it's just what. No, baby. As long as there's some breath in your body, you keep pressing after God. So I guess the real question is, do we really believe he's worth the pursuit? Somebody real close to me wrote a song that said, he's forever faithful. And the last line said, worthy of my life. Is the Lord worthy of your life? I mean, like everything that makes you you, is he worthy of that for you to surrender it all? I mean, just to keep coming after him. Is he worth that investment of time? You know, I'm looking at you, Dr. Comas Haynes. There's a lot of work to get that PhD. Because somewhere along the way, you figure it's worth this. How far are we willing to go to get him? Or will we say, well, you know, I'm okay. See, some people say this ain't necessary. Come on, Pastor Greg, you're saying this kind of message to the people here. We here on Wednesday night. You need to preach this to the ones who ain't going. No. See, to him who has, more be given. Don't give up on God. Because he won't give up on you. He's able. We got to press. We got to press. There's more. There's more. And everything that we want, everything that we need, everything that we could ever experience is all found in his presence. So what we have to do is to pursue the presence of God. See, we're wrong if we start pursuing miracles. What you need is him. See, you don't have to have riches untold if you have him. Now, don't misinterpret what I said. Well, Pastor Greg said, we don't have to have riches. That's not what I said. I said, you don't have to have riches. In other words, anything that God has called you to do is not limited by what's in your hands. Because when you have him, you have, he shall supply all your, according to his riches. So if you fretting over the fact that your salary hadn't gone from this level to this level, or I'm praying and I'm believing God that this year I'm going to earn an additional $30,000. I mean, it's okay to have goals, but don't let that stuff drive you. What needs to drive you is to get more of his presence. Because whatever you want to try to do, the Lord will provide. He's able to provide that, you know. Well, you know, I would do missions, but I don't have $2,000-$3,000 to pay. Are you okay? But he does. So if you get more of him, then what's limiting you? See, our issue is not our lack. And that's what the enemy calls us to focus on so much. I mean, no, man. It's the presence. How much of his presence are we carrying? It's better than a debit card. It's better than a line of credit. In fact, I wish I had time. We don't have time because we got to get out of here tonight. But just by show of hands, how many of you have ever gotten, purchased, acquired something that before it started, you know you didn't have the money or qualify? You know, some of y'all got put into a house by just the blessing of God. Some of y'all end up in cars that if they'd have really checked like they're supposed to, they'd have turned you around, you know, at the entrance of the parking of the lot. You know, but somehow, some way, God made it. Well, let me see your hand again. Come on, just thank him while you're waving it, because that's his resources, you know. But watch this. When he does that, do you know that that ain't his priority? The Lord ain't that. Woo, I blessed him with a house. He ain't. That's not what delights him. Can I tell you? That's to show you that he's Jehovah Jireh. But then once you get that, now can you believe him to take a neighborhood? Can you believe him for your family? Huh? Can you believe him to save your street? Because it's the same God. See, what he's trying to get you to see is not the car or the house or the money or the job or anything else that you got that you didn't think that you qualified for. It's the knowing him. It's the knowing that, boy, even though I see limitations and everything on paper say no, God can still say yes. Oh, I done messed y'all up now because y'all don't like that song, right? When Jesus say yes, nobody can say. I was like, oh, don't sing that one. Well, listen, I can't help that somebody decided to sing it. But it is true. It is true. Exodus 33. Look at verse 9. I'm just start there and try to read this. Oh, my goodness. This is so funny. I know I'm going to have to just, you know, the Lord, we got to flow with the Lord because I've only been up, about 5 minutes now? A few minutes, but I got through this part. I got through this part, the first four lines. I'm about to start the other part, the first page, and I don't have it about six, front and back. But we'll see. Exodus 33:9. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Wow, boy, Joshua didn't depart. The glory and the presence of God manifests and talked with Moses face to face, and his assistant was with him. And when Moses had to go out to go do the service, whatever God had given him to say or to do, Joshua stayed in the presence. He stayed in the presence. We need to let that sort of speak to us for a minute. He stayed in the presence. Now, we know later on that there was a great assignment on Joshua's life, right? To take over where Moses' assignment ended and to actually lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But part of what qualified him and got him to the point of being able to accept or walk into that call is that he stayed in the presence. Wonder what it is God has ordained for your life that's being delayed because we won't stay in the presence. Look at verse 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, here's the promise. "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." So Moses was saying, you told me to do this, but you ain't showed me who gonna help me. Who you sending? You know, Lord, we got to do this stuff, God. You told me I'm willing, but ain't nobody else doing nothing. Who going to do it with me? He said, "My presence will go with you." That's all we need. It doesn't matter what the assignment is. What we need is the very presence of God to go with us and to give us rest. And then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." How committed are we to the presence of God? Another close friend of mine wrote a song that says, "If you don't deliver me, I'm going to stay right here. Until you rescue me, because nobody else can meet my need. The song goes on. But it's come from that same heart that says, Lord, if I'm in bondage, I don't even want to get out if it's not your presence bringing me out. Okay, let me put that in everyday language. Sometimes we try to fix situations that we're in by doing the hustle that we're familiar with. We do the stuff that we know that can maybe help resolve some stuff. But listen, the Lord says, I don't want you fleshing out. I don't want you compromising my standard of holiness. I don't want you building alliances with the world. I don't want you to let the devil handle you so you can make a situation better. Trust me. Seek me for my presence. Get to that place of saying, Lord, if your presence don't go, I'm going to stay right here. So I'm not going to the soothsayer. I'm not going to the witch doctor. I'm not going to Mary Magdalene or whatever to try to get no word, because if I don't get a word from the Lord on what to do, I'm going to just stay right there. Slay me, Lord. But I want so to please you that I would rather die not achieving something than to try to get it without you. I've told this story before, and for those that heard it, just bear with the ones that never heard it. I'm not going to get into all the details, but there was one point in our lives early in our marriage where we were financially, you know, we were making it, but it was tough. And I had two little boys at that time, and it was hurting me because they were sleeping on a pallet. And they had a little bed that was shaped like a little car, but they had the first one. He had outgrown it, and now the other one was sleeping in it. Now he had outgrown it, so we had made a pallet for him. And I said, man, I'm tired of this. Man, I work every day. My children ain't got to sleep like this. So I went to Roberts, right? Roberts Furniture. Y'all remember that? I don't even know if they still exist. They don't? Yeah, they should have closed before they took all my money. But I went to Roberts, and I went and got that bunk bed, man. That one that got the futon on the bottom and the bunk bed in the top, you know, set it up so they can sit down like a little couch. And then when they get to go to bed, just let that thing down. Man, I put it together. They were right. Got the mattresses. The thing only cost about, I think it was like maybe $400 or $500. By the time I finished paying for that thing, it was thousands. Because I got on one of them deals that said, you know, what is it? 1 year, 12 months, same as cash. I'm like, shoot, I could handle that, 12 months. You know, that's about $50, $60 a month. That's not a problem. But what I didn't read in the fine print was, but if you don't pay it off before the 12 month, all the interest for them 12 months get dumped on top of it. At day number 366, at that day, it comes on. And I was almost finished paying for it. Just a little bit left. But I didn't get it before that year was up. That interest got dumped on top, boom. And then all of a sudden now it was that. I didn't read the other fine print. You know, Sherry, I know you would look at me like, see there? See there? I think the thing was like 32, 33%, something like that. Man, I was paying that same $50, $60, and that was just the interest. And it was steady going up every month. I'm talking about years paying for that same little bump. You know why? Because I did not say, Lord, until you bring me out, we just gonna have to sleep like this. But no, I'm gonna go handle this. I'm a man. What? I'm a man. I work. I got credit. I've been on my job for a little while. I don't have to go through this. See, I'm trying to handle it by myself. The Lord don't want us to do that. That's what Moses said. He said, Lord, if you don't go with us, we won't come up from here. We ain't moving. So until we see the manifestation of that promise that your presence will go with us, I'm not moving. And that's not rebellion or having an attitude with God. That's saying, God, I want so much to do it your way that I don't want another way, any other thing that's offered to me, even if it might work. It ain't worth it. So look at verse 16. For how then will it be known? He's okay, we're at 15, so I can put it in context. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Man, oh man. Man, oh man. He said, how else are people going to know that I'm yours if I don't have your presence? How will people know you belong to God if the presence of God is not with you? See, it's the presence of God. It's the atmosphere around you. It's what you bring to the fellowship, to the conversation, to the relationship, to the job, to where it's whatever, it's what you bring. Because the presence of the Lord is with you, that's how people know. It's not your confession. It's not that you tell them, yes, I'm a Christian, I go to cross-culture church, or, you know, it's not that. That's not what convinces them. It's how big of a reality is the presence of God with you. So that when you talk, do they sense him? When you pray, do they feel like the Lord himself is in this place? Does your consecration make them feel uncomfortable with their sin? If not, then I submit to you, we need more of the presence. We have to. We have to have it. See, it's the presence of God. I loved those two apostles that met the lame man by the gate, right? He asked them for alms. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What did they have? Well, if you ain't got no silver and no gold, you're broke, right? But what did they have? They had been with Jesus. They carried the presence. They said, such as I have. Rise up. What? The man was healed because they carried the presence with them. That's what we need. See, if we're praying for the miracles, we're missing it. What we need to seek is the presence. And the miracles will come. Verse 17 says, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Lord, may we find grace in your sight. I'm going to stop there. That next piece is really good, but I need to go. So there's three things I want to give you. That I believe just that there's some great ways for us to sort of measure where we are, right? Three things that I would say that according to scripture, they are evidence of the presence. You know, how much do I have? Is the presence of God with me? How do I know that? How can I be sure? How can I be sure, right? How can I be sure? Here's some evidence of the presence. John chapter 14, verse 27. I can tell you I didn't watch Red Fox. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. One of the things that's an evidence of the presence of God is the peace of God. Oh, yes. Let me tell you. He says, I give you peace. And he says, so don't let your heart be troubled. Don't even be afraid. See, the presence of fear and troubledness of heart that keeps some of us from not being able to go to sleep at night. I told you that this was the answer, right? This is the answer to insomnia. Here we go. Here's the answer to all that other stress and worry that we take in medication for. He said, my presence. Because when you get my presence, you're going to get my peace. And when you get the peace of God, it matters little what's going on around you. In fact, it becomes so precious that you would do whatever you need to keep it from being disturbed. Some people, you won't even have conversations with them when they start bringing you stuff, right? Because you ain't going to disturb my peace. I'm at a place that, anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm at a place in God, and I sense the very peace of God. I ain't going to let you come to me with no gossip and all this mess and disturb my peace. Got me all up in arms about what people doing and what they saying and what so-and-so. What? Are you kidding me? The peace of God. I need to sleep at night. I want to keep my hair. You know? I don't want I don't want a heart attack and all the other stuff that comes from stroke. Stroke, heart attack, hypertension, all that stuff that comes from stress. I want the peace. That's a premium to me. Or you could do it your way. You can buy the bunk bed. You won't have no peace. They'll be calling you too. No peace. Philippians 4, starting at the fourth verse. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I would say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. There it is. There's the answer to all the mental disorders. There's the answer to all your distractions and lack of, he said, to guard your mind. Some of us, we need a guard around our mind. But where does that come from? The peace that we get in his presence. That's why, listen, we have to ask the Lord to help us to begin to enjoy his presence so we don't get so tired and anxious in worship and in prayer. I hate to be the one to blow, you know, to let you know this if you didn't know, but that's what you're going to be doing in heaven for all of eternity. Yeah, ain't that right, Ellis? We're going to worship him forever, right? Forever and ever and ever. So if you're getting tired after 5 minutes of worship here, you're going to be in trouble. We need peace, but that's where we get it. It's in his presence. In his presence. In his presence. Somebody tell me what time it is. Not how much time I got, but what time is it? I can't see that clock way back there. I can't see it. Colossians 3, chapter 12. No, let me go to the next one. The first one I said was what? Peace. Here's the second thing we get from his presence. Joy. Joy. Psalm 16:7 says this. He said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the right seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. It's talking about hell. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. Now, before you even get to the in your presence is fullness of joy, let's go back to the phrase right before it. See, in his presence, he shows us the path of life. If there's a path of life, then guess what there's also a path of? Death. You don't know which one is the right one. It's in his presence that it becomes known to us. We begin to discern the way of the Lord. It's not going to come through your intellect, through your much understanding, your ability to sort of, you know, work through the things in life and go, you know, I can make good decisions. That's really good. God bless you. But there's a knowing about what decisions you need to make, because everything that look good ain't good. Some things look like it's the right way, but it's the path that leads to death, Tanya. You hear me? It'll kill you all the way dead. There's some people that's gotten into stuff, and it's killed their dreams. It's killed their hope. It's killed their love for God. But when they got into it, they thought that it was going to be a wonderful thing. Because we can't discern the difference. But all in his presence, our appetite starts to change. See, when we worship the Lord, when we pray, when we spend time with him, our appetite changes and we start desiring some things. And then all of a sudden, when something is offered to us and it's a pathway, even though it looks good, you go, you know, I don't think I want to do that. I'm good. I don't think I want to take that job, even though it's paying, you know, $15,000 more. That sounds good, but, you know, the job is not my source. The Lord is. And I have peace about where I am. I don't. Where'd you get that uncomfortable from? It's a time we spend in his presence. He wants to see some things the Lord forms in us. Some things are fashioned when we spend time with him. As we behold him, Byron, we look in his face in worship, and all of a sudden some things are being formed in us. And when they're formed, all of a sudden we just want something different. I remember that before the Lord saved me, I used to smoke cigarettes and a little bit of that other stuff. And then I got, the Lord saved me. And I was just, you know, radically changed. And I was walking back from the business building one day back to my dorm. And I was walking up the hill. I got halfway up the hill and I just stopped. And it was like the Lord just sort of checked me. And I said, oh my God, it's been 30 days since I picked up a cigarette or any of them little short ones. And then I started skipping and jumping because I was so happy because I realized that the appetite had changed. See, it wasn't a number of days. My appetite was so changed that I didn't even realize. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't even pray for this one. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Claudette. I didn't pray for this one. The Lord just took the taste. What I used to desire and want to do, I ain't want to do no more. Perhaps I got that when I was in that chair talking about, dwell in me, Jesus. Dwell in me, oh God. Dwell in me. Maybe it was there. When everybody else left and went home, and I'm still in there, wouldn't let the security close the building because I'm in there praying. Thank God they had enough respect not to interrupt. They let me have a little time. Okay? But your appetite changes. All right? Number three. And I'm wrapping. This is it. Number three. The third thing is love. Love. I know y'all thought it was going to be three deep things, right? The peace of God, the joy of the Lord, and love. We get this from his presence. It's poured out in us. In fact, John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And verse 16 says, and I would pray to the Father, he would give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Okay, I'm going to have to skip down so I could just show you. Down in verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. If we keep his command, if we honor the Lord and obey him, he says, my Father is going to love you. And if my Father loves you, then I'm going to love you. He said, and I won't just love you, I'm going to give you my presence. He said, I will manifest myself to you. We need to live with the manifest presence of Jesus in our lives. And in the interest of time, I'm just going to make this point. I won't even go to the scriptures. But unlike the Old Testament, it's not his desire that we come to a mountain and experience the visitation of the Lord. But he wants his presence to abide in us. That we live every day, experience every moment, every night, experiencing the presence of God, that same presence that causes us to love our neighbor as ourselves, that same presence that causes us to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, that same presence that gives us joy unspeakable that the world can't take away, right? That same presence that gives us peace, that guides our mind, it guards our heart. The very presence of God. It's the same thing that in his presence is where there's miracles, signs and wonders, miraculous things, doors being opened for us, doors being closed, the path of life being made known. It's no downside to this. It's all benefits. It's all, in fact, remember the first scripture we read? He said he gives a blessing, just blessings on your life because of the presence. But guess what the enemy fights us more than anything else? It's on spending time in the presence. He's so committed to it that he's created a culture that we live in America, that has us running so much that the truth of the matter is, even if we want to, we just don't have time. You know, just don't have time. And then when you have time, you're so tired from all the other stuff you was doing that you still can't do it. You ain't got to even say amen. I know. I know. How I know? Because that's what the Lord gave me. How I know? Because that's what the psalmist was singing tonight. I know this is on point. See, and see, this is where it looks for us. We're looking at, man, I'm so stressed. See, this is God's anger management plan. Shut your mouth. Yes. You want to know how to get that anger out you? It's in his presence. He just begins to wash over us as we worship him. You know, he cleanses us. Our hearts get purified. You know, you want to know how to stop dealing unfairly with people? You know, being a deceiver, a trickster, you know, doing shady deals, trying to get something for nothing. Think that every time you go and they give you too much change back, it's a blessing. Or when you look in your bag and they put an extra bit Mac in there, you run out the store before they say, hey, all that stuff. See, you want to know how you get out of that? It's in his presence. Because when you're in his presence, he gets your hands clean. And y'all, listen, if we don't live there, we can't ascend. We cannot ascend. We can't go up into those places. And listen, from what I'm learning, and I know some of you know this, that whatever level you go up to, God begins to show you there's another level to ascend to. The ascension doesn't stop until we are with him forever. So we can't get tired. Listen, soldiers, gird yourselves up. Be encouraged. Don't give up. Keep pressing. Keep pressing in this life until we leave this place. Let's continue to press after God. Let's continue to abandon ourselves. Let's continue to go after him and pursue his presence and enjoy all the benefits that come with knowing him and being known by him. Amen. 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 Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word tonight. And we thank you for how you have spoken to us. But more than what came out of my mouth, I thank you for the presence that accompanied the word. Because just as we talked about your presence, I believe, Lord God, that you made your presence known to us in different ways throughout this evening, Lord God. And Lord, may it whet our appetite to make us desire more. Lord, I pray right now that you would stir it up in us, Lord, that we're not satisfied or content with what we've experienced at this point, but that we would desire more of your presence, oh God. Lord, your word says to seek you first. Seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and then all those other things will be added. Because when we get you, when we get your rule in our life, when we get your presence manifest in us and we abide in that presence, all those other things will just come. Everything that we need, Lord God. Oh God, hallelujah. It's in your presence, Lord God. And we thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray for refreshing. If you feel like, you know, I don't feel like I'm abiding in that presence. Why? Because I'm looking at myself and I don't see the joy like I know I can live in. I'm not experiencing the peace. You know, I got too many things troubling me. And I feel many times that there's a love deficit. And if that's evidence of the presence, I need more. If that's where you are, I want you to just stand where you are. Stand where you are. Because a refreshing comes to you tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just lift your hands and receive. Lord, confirm your word. Oh God, cause your presence to come upon them in a fresh way. Renew them, refresh in the name of Jesus. Your word speaks about times of refreshing that come from your presence. Well, Lord, we don't want to visit. We want to experience your presence tonight, and we want to live there. We want to go home and sleep in the presence. We want to drive in the presence. We want to walk in the presence. We want to have our meals in the presence, pay our bills in the presence, go to work in the presence. Lord, everything we do every day, all day, that we're just communing with you, Lord God, not out of some kind of duty, not because we're trying to prove something or try to imitate something, but out of a real relationship with you, a real love relationship with you. Lord, refresh us tonight, Lord God. Lord, engraft us into a love relationship with you that will surpass anything we've ever known, oh God. Help us to know you, Lord God, and experience you in a way that makes what we have had seem like we were far from you. Take us to a new place, Lord God. We want to ascend. We want to come before you, Lord God. Lord, we ask you for your presence to go with us, to go before us, to be behind us as our rear guard, above and beneath, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we want you. We want you. Lord, even as we're in your presence right now, begin to realign our priorities, Lord God. And the things that we desire, the things that we give our time to, Lord God, we're not making excuses for. We know that sometimes we put things before you. And we're saying tonight, Lord, we want to make it right. We want you to refresh us, Lord God, and become our first love again as never before, Lord God. Cause our hearts to love you, oh God. And help us to know your love. Oh God, even tonight, pour out your love in this place, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you've walked away from the Lord and you're not in the right relationship with him, or if you never given your heart to him in a real way, and you like to be in that relationship with the Lord and really know the love of God that can change your life, I want you to just to walk up front and I want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I don't mean to belabor or linger. I just feel like there's still something else the Lord wants to do, and I'm not quite sure what that is. I tell you, if there's anybody that feels like that you've been running up against a hurdle that you can't seem to get over, and it's affecting your walk with the Lord and maybe your love relationship with other people, but it's something that impedes your growth or your moving forward in God, and you feel like this thing is regulating you to a certain level, and you look at it and say, man, I feel like I've not really grown since last year. I've not really grown. I'm just sort of feel like I'm stuck. If that's you, please let me pray with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, for everybody else that's here, come on, let's practice his presence. You know, the sister is playing the keyboard and it's just to help us, that's all. But you, enter into his presence. Because whatever these people need tonight, they're going to get it from his presence.